We're doing the Gemara Brachos and the Ein Yaakov. We're up to page 158. That would be the Ein Tesamid Beis in the standard editions, which in the Gemaras appears on Daf Nun Amud Aleph. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi has been telling us some interesting things. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Gimel Dvarim Sachli Malach HaMavet. The angel of death taught me three things. Number one, Al titol chalukha shachrit miyad hashamash v'tilbash. In the morning, don't take your robe from the servant and wear it. There are different reasons here. One understanding is, if he didn't wash his hands, don't take it from him. He hasn't washed his hands yet. Another understanding is, you take it and dress it. It's a Kabbalistic reason. Another understanding is, so that a person doesn't reveal himself in the morning. But the simple understanding here is that the angel of death told him something that he couldn't have figured out himself, that it's something spiritual here. So he told him, don't take your robe from the servant. Meaning in ancient times, people used to sleep naked. That was the norm, that they used to get under the covers and pull off their robe, and they had nothing underneath. In the morning, they'd put on their robe. All they wore was a robe. Like the Arabs wear today, right? I don't know what they wear under that, but that used to be the ancient garb. What?
Kilt.
Well, not kilt. It's not a kilt. It's a robe that goes from top down.
Ah,
I don't know about that. Okay. V'al titol yadcha mimi shelo natal yadav, and don't wash your hands in the morning from someone who himself hasn't washed his hands. So this is relevant if you wake up in the morning and your little kids want you to wash their nagel vaser for them, wash your hands before you wash their hands. Don't stand before the women when they're coming back from a funeral procession, from a levaya. Because I'm dancing before the women when they return from the cemetery. And I'm carrying my sword. And at that time I have permission to harm people. So he's telling him, you should know that spiritual harm, I can harm people at that time. But let's say you're walking down the street and all the women are coming back from the cemetery. They are coming back. What are you supposed to do? What should I do? He told them, take 4 steps back. If there's a river there, cross it. If you have another path you could go down that path. And if there's a wall there, so stand behind the wall. And if not, then turn around, don't face them. And you should say the verse in Zechariah, God said to Satan, Yigar Hashem b'cha Satan, God's going to roar at you, Satan, till the women pass. So he told him spiritual things that he couldn't figure out on his own. There's a famous story about Rabbi Shua ben Levi meeting with the angel of death. The angel of death was supposed to give him a tour before he takes him to die. He said, I want to see the Garden of Eden. The angel of death says, okay, come, I'll take you before you die. So he says, yeah, but I'm scared of going with you while you have your sword. Give me your sword. So he says, fine, gives him a sword. And he takes him and he shows him the wall of the Garden of Eden. He holds him over the wall. He looks at the Garden of Eden and jumps in. Now the angel, he asks the angel of death, why don't we go inside? The angel of death says, I don't have permission to enter there. So he says, oh, really? Jumps inside. Jumps inside and he has the angel of death's sword. So the angel of death says, wait a second, that's not fair. I was supposed to take your life. What are you doing? So he says, well, you can't touch me now, right? Goodbye. So then there's a continuation to the story. The angel of death went to God. He said, that's not fair. He tricked me. So God says, okay, he tricked you? So he says, yeah, but. So God says, okay, check throughout his life. Did he ever go back on his word? Did he ever say something and go back on his word? If he never went back on his word, this time he jumped in and got you, so then he can't take him back. They checked. He never went back on his word. So yeah. The angel of death says, yeah, okay, fine. So I won't take his life. But so he'll go into the Garden of Eden alive. But what about me? What about my job? What about my sword? So God says, talk to him. So he talks to him, and he makes a deal with him on certain conditions. He says, I'll give you back your sword, but there are certain things you can't do. And he limits the capacity of the angel of death. So here, Rabbi Shua ben Levi seems to have had other conversations with the angel of death, and he tells us these three tips the angel of death told him. Rav Zutra bar Tuvia said in the name of Rav, Avuka kebet, if you're going out at night, so our sages said you're not supposed to go alone, if you're carrying a torch with you, so that counts as though there were two people walking. Ve'yarech, and if there's a full moon, so then there's a lot of light by the moon, so then kigimel, if the moon is giving a lot of light, it's as though there are three people walking. Ibalu avuka kebet ma'ade didei. The Gemara says, when it says a torch is like two, does it mean it's like two plus him, so then it's like three? Odilma avuka kebet lebaumidei. Lebaumididei. Is two considered as though him plus one or him plus two? Tashma, so we say, look at the rest of the quote. Ve'yarech kegimel, the moon counts like three. Iyamit bishtama ba'ade didei shapir. If it's three with him included, then I understand. Ela yamit lebam didei dalid lamamli. What do you need four for? If the moon counts as three, what do you need three plus one? If three means aside from him, when does it make a difference? Once you have three, what difference does it make if it's three or four or more? The amar mar, but our rule is as follows. Le'echad, if a person's walking alone, nirao mazik. So then the demons or spirits, whatever they are, they could appear before a person who's standing alone at night and harm him. Lebet, but if you have two people, so then mira, they could appear. You might see them, veino mazik, but they won't harm a person once there are two together. Leginel, if you have three people, enira kolikal, then they don't appear at all. So once you have three, there's no difference if there's three or four or five. So when it says a torch counts like two and the moon counts like three, logic dictates that it's together with him, not three other than him. Because once you hit three, there's no point in having four. So I understand that a torch counts like two. It's as though he's one of the two. And the Shema Mina, it's a good proof. Yes.
So with the street lights tonight then, would that just mean that people would walk around however they want
now? Right, right. That's what it would seem, yeah.
Okay, so without street lights, then you have to walk with someone.
It's advisable. Even though today we don't encounter demons so much, but yeah. I guess if you're out in the field, they don't usually come to the city so much. But if you're hiking and stuff like that, their person should be more careful.
Did anyone put together? I assume this is a no. I just want to make sure. No one has ever put together a book of all the stories about the angel of death, right?
I'm unaware of that. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rabbi Avu. Rabbi Zeira quotes in the name of Rabbi Avu, and here we're nearing the end of the chapter. Others say that this is a quote from a braisa. There are 10 halachos that were said with regard to the cup that you make a blessing over. So this would be applied to the cup of benching when you do Birkat HaMazon, and a cup of Kiddush if you're going to do Kiddush, the four cups of the night of the Seder. And here are the 10 halachos. Ta'un, the cup of that you're going to make a bless over requires hadacha. You have to wash it, vishtifa, and wash it. So the Gemara is going to explain two washings, one inside, one outside. Chai, you put the wine alive, umale, and you have to fill to the top. Itul, the ituf, we'll see what those are. Notlo b'shtei adav, you take it in two hands, v'notno b'imin, and then you take it in your right hand, u'magbiom n'akar katefach, you hold it, a tefach above ground, v'noten inavbo, and you look at it as you make the blessing. And some say, you also have to send it to his wife after Kiddush. You send some wine from the cup to the wife. Rav Yochanan says, we only perform four of those halachos. Hadacha v'shtifa, we wash it inside and out. Chai umale, that when we pour it in, we put the wine alive, meaning they used to dilute their wine. The live wine, the chai, means it's raw. It's undiluted. After they put in the wine, they put three parts water to one part wine. This is not only in Chazal, you see it also in Homer's works, in the Iliad and Odyssey. This was, the Greeks did this too. This was the way their wine was. Their wine was very strong. So you pour it in raw, and then you add the water, umale, and you fill it to the top. Tana adacha mibifnim, shtifa mibachutz. We have a braisa that explains adacha means rinse it out on the inside and shtifa means wash it on the outside. So we customarily do a lot of these halachot. Itur and ituf, we wear a hat for making a blessing on the cup of wine. Some people put cups of wine around the cup. Some have the custom, they have cups around the cup that you're making a blessing. we hold it with two hands to show that we prize the cup, and then we take it in our right hand. We do hold it a tefach over the table or over the ground, if you're sitting on the ground, over the ground. If you're by a table, by the table. And we do look at the cup as we make the blessing. When you say Bor Pri HaGafen, you look at the wine as you're making the blessing. So we do apply these. Amar Ravasi en masichin al kos shel bracha. Ravasi says, you don't talk when once you're holding the cup to make a blessing over it. Amar Ravasi en mevarchin al kos shel puranut. Ravasi says, you don't make a blessing over a cup that's harmful. My kos shel puranut, what does it mean a cup that's harmful? Amar Nachman ben Yitzchak kos sheni, the second cup. The Talmud says that in the days of Chazal, they had a concept called zugos. Zugos was that whatever spirits were harming them in those days were attracted to things that were in pairs. So if you take two cups to drink, then they'd be attracted to you. Anytime you went a double, you'd always try to get an odd number. It goes to the point where the Braisa says, if you're going to drink two cups, don't even make a blessing. Because a blessing is about something that's fixed and not something that's harmful. And if you're going to drink something that harms you, then don't make a blessing over that. So we today, we're not concerned for that. All this doesn't really affect us, right? We don't notice if we're taking two cups or four cups or six cups. We don't go with these odd numbers. But in the days of Chazal, they were concerned with that. So that brings us to the conclusion of the seventh chapter. And Hadran Alach. Shlosha she'achlu, adran alach shlosha she'achlu, adran alach shlosha she'achlu. We saw all kinds of interesting spiritual things and medical things throughout this chapter. And now we're entering the eighth chapter, which focuses on the differences between the house of Shammai and the house of Hillel, differences in the laws of Abdullah, differences in the laws of Kiddush, differences in how you're supposed to have your meals. So that's going to be the focus of the eighth chapter. We'll just begin it. Shammai say the blessing is not borei but shebara, not meorei but maor. We speak about one light of the fire, and we speak about the previous creation of fire. Ubet Hillel umrim, and Beis Hillel say the blessing is borei in the present tense, Hashem who creates, and we speak about meorei aish, the multiple lights that are within the fire. And we'll pick up here, Bezachem, next week.